I had been officially preaching as pastor for 20 years, I guess.
Wow.
Hard to believe. This is my 20th Christmas as a pastor, and who knows how many sermons I've preached on the Christmas message. And I try to spend a lot of time seeking the Lord, what He wants to say, like for every sermon. I've never had a year like this in 20 years of ministry that I'm preaching from this text. Never. Like, never. It's always, you know, Matthew or Luke.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, what are you saying? Do I have to, like, give this sermon? Really? Like, it's supposed to be joy and peace. And... However, I don't know why. I'm really struggling this Christmas. I don't normally, but I'm really struggling this Christmas. And I'm just being honest with you. I'm struggling with the affluence of this country and running around and buying food when most of the world is starving or in war. And I'm trying to put everything in perspective, and the only really perspective you can get on what's happening on planet Earth is the Bible. I discovered, although I've read it numerous times, I've discovered that there's another Christmas passage that no one really ever reads at Christmas time, and it's this one. Pretty graphic, pretty real, pretty raw. So I'm going to read it, the whole thing through, and then I'm going to just share what God has laid in my heart. So Revelation chapter 12, I'm going to start in verse 1. This is from the New American Standard. First, I'm going to pray. Lord, you want to say something to us? So we open our ears and hearts to hear what you have to say to your church. Lord, I pray that I would speak what you want me to speak, and that we would hear what you want us to hear. For your glory, Lord, this would not be just another sermon. Lord, this would be a word from the Lord that would cause change and redirection for us. Come, Lord Jesus. Verse 1, Revelation 12. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she could give birth, he might devour her child. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God in his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she might be nourished for 1,260 days. There was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war. And they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And the 2 wings of the great eagle were given to the woman in order that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. What a picture. A woman is on the delivery table and there's a beast waiting to devour her child. Wow. I couldn't get that picture out of my head. I'm just going to take you through the journey I was on. I went to Open Doors Canada, which is the ministry that ministers to the persecuted church. And I read there that 1 in 7 Christians are persecuted worldwide. That 1 in 5 Christians in Africa are persecuted. 2 in 5 in Asia. That last year, 2023, there were 5,000 Christians murdered. There are 14,800 churches and Christian ministries attacked by crazy mobs. Churches closed in China, Nigeria, Nicaragua, Ethiopia. Christians were attacked. Churches were burned.
Right.
People were displaced from their homes.
Right.
I could go on and on. Just this past Monday, there was a shooting at a Christian school. Where 8 people were shot, 2 were killed, 2 lie in hospital, severely wounded. We read of constant attacks on the Jewish people, synagogues burned. Just recently, this week, there was a Jewish girls' school that was firebombed and attacked in Toronto. We live in a crazy world. And then there's this Christmas thing going around where everybody's just engorging themselves on abundance and food and going to the malls and racking up their credit cards. And we seem to be oblivious to what the scriptures really are saying, is that if you side on the side of God, it's not going to be a great life. There's going to be this constant attack. And I wonder... sometimes in Canada, this is what I'm wrestling with, you know, it's such a land of affluence that we can get so numb to the suffering that's going on around us by other Christians who are really following Jesus and giving up their lives for him around the world, and even here. And so I'm just wondering, like, what is going on? I asked myself, and I had to text Wendy because I said, Wendy, did you ever go through this? Am I even a Christian? Because I never face this stuff, to be honest. I can go on the streets and preach the gospel. I can go to the mall and preach the gospel. I can stop anybody I want. I can hold a service in the middle of the parking lot here and do pretty much anything I want and can. I never experienced this, right? And to me, when I read the Christmas story, it's like chaos. Hey, it's chaos. Have you read the story of, every year I go through the stories and I read like Joseph and Mary fleeing. First they have to take a census and they're on their way to Bethlehem. And they encounter all kinds of potential hazards. Thankfully God is keeping them. That's the main message of Revelation 12, is God is keeping them. But ultimately, it's not an easy life. When you choose to follow God, it's not an easy life. I mean, if you're living in Africa... it's not an easy life.
Right.
They don't celebrate like we do here. Okay, in Nigeria, they're killing Christians. Okay, they don't even know if they're going to have a place to meet or if they'll be alive to meet.
Right.
Okay, that's the reality. And we just seem to go around and indulge. And I wonder sometimes, are we the church in Revelation that's really rich and really Jesus says you're poor? You're so disgusting to me, like I want to spew you out of my mouth. I'm like, God, this is a great Christmas message, isn't it? But I'm like really struggling. That was the first thing. Second thing that came to me was, you remember the song from 1984 by Band-Aid called, what's it called? Do you remember that song?
We Are the World.
We Are the World. It's been redone and repackaged so many times, but Initially, it was to raise awareness and relief funds for the Ethiopian famine of 1984. So let me read you some of the words. Say a prayer, pray for the other ones. At Christmas time, it's hard, but when you're having fun, there's a world outside your window, and it's a world of dread and fear, where the only water flowing is the bitter sting of tears. And the Christmas bells that ring there are the clanging chimes of doom. Well, tonight, thank God it's them instead of you. And there won't be snow in Africa this Christmas time. The greatest gift they'll get this year is life. Where nothing ever grows, no rain, no rivers flow. Do they know it's Christmas time at all? Can you imagine while we're going through the stores and looking to spend hundreds, thousands of dollars, buy the best foods and fill those baskets and stockings, that someone doesn't even know if they'll be alive the next day? They don't even know Christmas is happening here.
Yeah.
And I think we can be so oblivious to the sufferings of the world in this nation. And yet the scriptures say that we have an enemy who is right there. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you identify with the King of Kings, this little baby who was born, I just find it fascinating. Like, John doesn't even mention the birth. To him, it's all about God coming down, right, as Emmanuel, to give us salvation and set us free. And here we focus on this false narrative of three kings, and I mean, our theology is so bad. Some of the songs are so bad, they're hard to sing. They're not even scripture. They're just like tradition and legends. And I think, have we gotten so far and so calloused in our own little bubble of Christmas that we really forget what it's all about? That Jesus Christ came, number one, to take away the sins of the world.
Yeah.
Number one, okay? That means we're sinners. Every single person on planet Earth is a sinner, and we're all going to hell, friends. Every single one of us is on our way to hell, unless Jesus Christ intervenes, unless the Spirit of God opens our eyes and our hearts to receive the truth of the Christmas message that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world to save sinners, of which Paul says, I am chief. That's the message of Christmas. That's first and foremost. Didn't come to give you peace and joy in the natural. He came to give you peace with God because you're separated from God. Your sin separates you. That's the reality. And you know, if you read the Gospels, here's the reality. Few there will be that find that message and that hope in Christ. Few there will be. Many will go down the road to destruction, but few.
Right.
Okay? Your family members, your children, are they really walking with Jesus? Are they the ones, let me just read this, verse 17, who keep the commands of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus? Does that describe you, your family ones? Does that describe me? Because here's the reality of Christmas. The reality should be that God sent his Son into the world because he loves us so much that whoever believes in him, that requires a choice, shall not perish. But if you don't believe in him, you're going to perish. Okay? And what is belief? It's if you truly like love me, you'll obey my commands. If you truly put your faith in me, you're gonna follow me, because that's the only calling I have for you. Okay, come follow me. Leave everything behind. Leave your family. Leave everything to follow me. Right? Some of you went to see Bonhoeffer. What's the message? Count the cost. When Jesus invites us to come to him, there's a cost. It's not so we can exchange gifts at Christmas. Okay? It's so we can live for him, so that we can obey him, and so we can die to ourselves, and we can hold the testimony of Jesus that I am a follower of Christ. He has bought me and paid for me with his own blood, and I put my faith in him. By his grace, I've been able to do that, and now I follow him. That's the message. That's the early church. The early church is a persecuted church. John, the Apostle John, is speaking to a persecuted church who are on the verge of dying. He himself has been exiled to the island of Patmos for his faith. Okay? And he's trying to encourage these saints who are trying to follow God as best they can in the power of the Spirit, because they're being persecuted. There's a crazy world leader who is trying to kill them through Satan. Okay? And this is the story of Jesus. When he comes into the world, I mean, the moment he's born, there's a mark on his head. They want to get rid of him. Right? How many millions of babies died? How many thousands of babies died when he was born?
Yeah, right.
Can we even fathom what Christmas is really all about? How many mothers had to hide their babies? How many fathers had to lie to the authorities as they knocked on the door? Like, just think of the Christmas story we never talk about. It's an evil world. Satan has been thrown down. He's kicked out of heaven. When did it happen? I don't know. I don't know all the order, but if I read the order here, it says, verse 5, she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Well, that's good news.
Yes.
This Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's ruling and reigning. He was caught up to God. He was victorious on the cross. He defeated Satan at the cross, okay? He purchased new life. He purchased everlasting life. He purchased the forgiveness of sins with his own blood. He was caught up to God and to his throne. That's great news. Jesus is seated in heaven. We're seated there with him. And somehow it says there was war in heaven. When Jesus is victorious, Satan is kicked out. Now where is he? He's on planet Earth. He has one mission: to make the lives of those who follow Jesus miserable. Okay? And here's the good news, friends. This is the good news of Christmas, I believe. Number 1, verse 10, salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. That's number 1. Jesus Christ is King and Lord, and he's seated on the throne. He did it. Okay? He did it. Number 2, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. We have overcome because of the blood of the Lamb. That's the good news of Christmas, is that Jesus Christ came down and fulfilled his mission. For that reason he came down. He came down to die. He says, I have come to die. Let me show you some scriptures here, because I think as a church we need to really get these. I'm just going to take you through 1 John 3:8. That's the first one I got. And if you don't know these are really good scriptures. 1 John 3:8. It doesn't get much clearer than this. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared, or came, manifest in the flesh for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen? That's your Savior. That's the one you put your faith in. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Here's what the Bible says, 1 John 5:19. The whole world is under the power of the devil. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We know from 2 Corinthians 4 that the god of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers, so they will not see the light of the gospel of glory. Okay, that's the truth. We know that Satan in Ephesians 2:2 is called the spirit of disobedience. He's all his are sons of disobedience. We are not that anymore. We used to be. Okay? Such were some of you. If you read Ephesians 2, he lists who we used to be. But Christ, because of his great love and his great mercy and his great grace and the work of the cross, has come and set us free and transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God. That's the message of Christmas. We no longer belong to the devil. We used to.
Right.
But he wants us back. And he wants your kids back. And he wants your family members back. And your co-workers, if they've even went there at all. He wants them.
Yeah.
And I believe the greatest draw to get them back is deception. That Christmas is about gifts.
Yeah.
And it's about wealth and eating and indulging and partying and drinking and all that stuff. And friends, there's one reason I believe, I think I said it in devotional, why Christmas exists. And that is so the whole world, this world, I guess, they don't know on the other side, but so that Christians actually have a opportunity to talk about what Christmas is really about. Okay, this whole North American first world country is celebrating Christmas. It's a great time to preach who Jesus is, if you take it. Okay, it's a great time to stop when you gather with your family members, like Ruth's father used to do. And I wasn't even a Christian, and she invited me to her house, and the first thing her dad did Christmas morning was open the Bible and explain the Christmas story. It never left me. It was like, wow, this is what a Christian family does. They go to the Word and they remind themselves that it's about Jesus coming to die for them. And friends, every Christmas gathering should be an opportunity for us to share the true story of Jesus. Okay, why? This is the motivation here. Because we have an enemy who is looking to keep who he's got so that Jesus can't have them, and to get back who those who have gone to the other side. Okay? Are you with me? Our job as followers of Jesus is to do exactly what Revelation 12 says, and that is to keep his commandments. That's our testimony. Okay? And to make him known. Look at, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
How do you overcome the devil with the blood of the Lamb? You continually tell the devil, I'm paid for and bought by the precious blood of Jesus. You can't touch me. I'm under the blood. I'm under the blood. Okay? The cross, he died on the cross for me. Mm-hmm. You need to continually remind yourself. And here's the good news. You know it.
Yeah.
Your family members may not, and they need to know it. Christmas is a great time to get them focused on Jesus and what he did. Okay? That they need to be under the blood. Who'd have thought that? And because of the word of their testimony, the word of their testimony, if you go to Revelation 1, I'll just tell you, this is the saints, this is it, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Literally. The word is martyr. Okay? You don't love your life so much that you are willing to die for Christ on this gospel, on this message that the blood of the Lamb has cleansed me. I used to be a sinner. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6. I used to be, but the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all unrighteousness.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm a new creation in Christ because of the work of Christ on the cross. Okay, he's victorious. When he died on the cross, I died with him. When he rose to life and again, I rose with him.
Right.
I'm a new creation. I don't do what I used to do. I don't think like I used to do. I don't party like you guys like I used to do. I'm new. Why? Because Christ has washed me. And I'm going to stand for him, okay? I'm going to testify to the power of Christ. And I don't care what you think of me. This is the testimony of the New Testament church, okay? The community of God who are persecuted and giving their lives to Christ is, it doesn't matter what you think of me because I don't belong to you anymore. I belong to Jesus, and I live for Jesus now. And friends, Christmas, this little baby coming down, to take away the sins of the world, that happened to me. He took away my sins, and I've never been the same again.
Change
I'm a new creation.
Amen.
Right, that's what Christmas is. For me. And I'm living proof that it's true.
Yeah.
I'm living proof that if you put your faith in Jesus, he'll change your life.
Yeah.
And you need to know that. You are, maybe you don't see that, but it ain't good for you if you don't know Jesus, according to my Bible. If you want to use the word hell, go ahead. Something's got to shock them into the kingdom. If they don't believe the truth, maybe they'll believe the reality of not believing the truth. And I want to encourage you people, this is a great opportunity, you know, to say, friends, family, you need Jesus. This is not about a little giving gifts. It's not about pigging out. Okay? This is about eternal salvation, eternal destiny. This is about new life. This is about you finding true peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, the living Christ inside of you. Friends, We need to get excited about Christmas. We need to get excited about the message that God would come down to save me and to save everyone who puts their faith in Him. And that's an incredible message. But here's the reality. We have an enemy who doesn't want that message out. And so what's he going to do? He's going to persecute us. Or even worse, he's going to bless us so much that we think we're living for Jesus because we're blessed so much.
Yeah.
And therefore, we never open our mouth. I don't know what's worse. I don't want to be that person. I want to be a person who says, the only reason I'm standing here sane and have any semblance of peace and joy is because Jesus changed my life.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. Otherwise, I'd be like everybody else on planet Earth, living in fear and anxiety. Okay, and just look at the world. The whole world is literally a mess. They need Jesus more than ever.
Yeah.
We got Jesus. We got that gift that will bring them the peace and joy that we experience. And so, I just want to encourage you. I don't want to dwell on this, but when I read this chapter, it's like, Jesus has done it. He's seated on high. He's victorious King. Verse 10. Verse 11, we're victorious in Him. Yes, there's a persecutor. Yes, there's Satan. He's accusing, he's deceiving, he's keeping people in His kingdom. But we can overcome. We are overcoming. And we're going to keep persevering, right? This is the church that Jesus has come to create. This Christian community are so in love with Him and so passionate about Him that they're fearlessly going on and proclaiming salvation. Okay? And when you read the Gospels and the story of Jesus, and you read, I think I shared one of the devotionals, you read Mary's song of praise,
yeah.
You read Zacharias' song of praise after his lips are loosed. It's like salvation, deliverance. Hey, this is the message of Christmas.
Right.
God has come down to set us free from our sin and from the enemy. And He wants to take you into the kingdom of the Son of God. And it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Okay? At the end. And friends, let's go to the end, because the book of Revelation is a book to encourage people who are being persecuted to keep going.
Satan knows he has a short time there.
It's a short time. Well, it's been 2,000 years. And, you know, I don't know exactly when he got kicked out of heaven, but here's the thing. When Jesus was victorious, he had to vacate. Like, literally, he's the God of this age, the principality, prince of the air. Okay?
Yeah.
He's ruler of this world. Now, wrestle with that.
Yeah.
God's ultimately in charge, but right now on planet Earth, there's this battle going on. Okay, two kingdoms are colliding. He wants to be king. He's already lost. He knows his time is short, but he's going to make it a living hell for everybody, including Christians. And we know the truth, and our job is to say, hey, you don't have to be under that kingdom. Turn your eyes to Jesus, look at the cross, allow the blood of Christ to cleanse you, and you can come into this kingdom. And it'll be totally different. Yeah, you're going to endure hardship. And you know, we were talking about leading people to Christ. Some people said, my goal this year is to lead people to Jesus. Praise God. We need to tell them the whole gospel. The moment you come to Christ, it ain't going to be easy. It's not going to be pretty. Listen, Jesus didn't come to give you peace and joy in the natural. He came to give you peace and joy in here. Okay? If you have Him in here, He is peace and joy. However, out there's a hostile world. And we need to know that when we say yes to Jesus and no to the devil, we are now enemy number one. And we'll be under attack. But if we resist the devil, he will flee,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We are overcomers. We have overcome in Christ. And this is the great news of the gospel, is that we can have victory. We have victory already. There's a battle to be fought, but the victory's already won in Christ.
Yeah.
And we need to keep going on and keep going on. And I believe God has laid this message. Maybe other pastors are preaching it, but it's going to get nasty. It is getting nasty on planet Earth. See, I got a God, and the first thing that we stand on is the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, that's true.
Who came as a... You know the story, right? He came and died. God came down and died a horrible death for me. And friends, I can list all the benefits of that. There's healing in the cross. There's forgiveness. There's love. There's mercy. There's justice. It's all in the cross. He purchased everything so I could have life. Hallelujah. I was going to read the whole two chapters of the closing of the book of the Bible. That's all I needed to hear.
We win.
If you make it to the end. Okay? Those who persevere to the end will be saved. Don't even try to wrestle that theology. But that's what the Bible says. We're being saved. We're saved. We're glorified. We're justified. It's all past tense, but there's a perseverance that needs to happen. Here's where we're going. After the devil is completely defeated once and for all in chapter 20, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adored for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death." Woohoo! "There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." He who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, and all the liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." That's us, friends. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, and a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names were written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. And there were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its walls. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city with the rod 1,500 miles. Wow, cube. 1,500 miles cube. Look at the city, verse 19. The foundation stones of the city were adorned with every kind of precious stone. It's all the stuff that we're chasing, that we're giving to each other for gifts.
They build with it.
We'll be walking on it. It'll be in the wall. It'll be like unbelievable. Nothing. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Wow. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime there shall be no night there. Its gates shall never be closed, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations to it.
Right.
And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Whoo, glory. When's your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming down from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the middle of its street. And on either side of the river was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 12. Behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, may enter by the gates of the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, the immoral persons, murderers, idolaters, everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this book, this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in the book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. That's three times he says it. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Hallelujah. Little baby came to die to give us life. Died on a cross, rose from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father. Will come again. In the meantime, Satan is loose. There's a battle going on. But Jesus tells us, you've already won in me. Yeah. I'm already victorious. Yeah. You're already victorious. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Amen? Mm-hmm. We need to remember all these things, friends. As we know, have no idea what 2025 holds for us. Okay? No matter what happens, we are more than conquerors in Christ. We're already victorious in Christ. Because we're in Christ, we have eternal life. We have the victory. We have everything. Right. Everything is in Christ. Okay? All you have to do, trust Him to keep you. Remain in Him. And my word will remain in you. My joy will be in you. If you remain in me, my joy will be in you. If you remain in me, my peace will be in you. He says this over and over again. And here's the good news. This is Christmas. God loved the world so much, He gave His only Son, that whoever puts their faith in Him would not perish but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
And that's the message we need to defeat the enemy with. The enemy that's in our loved ones' lives, that's the message that defeats that enemy. Mm-hmm. They got to get under the blood of the Lamb. Okay? And I want to encourage you, and I'm speaking to myself, this Christmas, if you want assurity that your family is saved, that your friends are saved, your loved ones, you need to preach the good news, the real good news of Christmas. Okay? I have come to take away the sins of the world. That's why I'm here. I lay down my life. No one forces me to do it. This is my mission. I've come to do thy will, O Lord, to lay down my life, to die and pay the price for the penalty of sin. That's the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that yet, you need to do that. You need to say, Holy Spirit, open my heart to receive the good news of the message of Christmas. It's not about, you know, three wise men. It's not about a little baby in a manger with little cows and horses around. That's not even scriptural. The message of Christmas is God loves us and wants to give us new life. And He died to do that. And there's an enemy out there that doesn't want that to happen. You know, in Luke chapter 4, we read Jesus is tempted by the devil. And if you keep reading in that chapter, they want to throw Jesus off a cliff.
Yeah.
Hey, Satan does not want Him to go to the cross. Mm-hmm. From the moment He's born, Satan wants to kill Him. Mm-hmm. Satan actually wants to prevent Him from being born. he did it.
Yeah.
It is finished.
Yeah.
It's over and done with. Nothing could stop the plan of God.
Right.
And all we got to do, friends, is really communicate that message clearly to people. It's amazing to me how many people do not know how to articulate the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It is the gospel that saves. It's not your good feelings or your well wishes or anything like that. It's not that Jesus came to give you, you know, joy and peace and a better life. He came to take away your sins, and without taking away your sins, you're not going to make it to heaven. You need the blood of the Lamb. Okay? That's what Christmas is to me. He came to die. That has to be foremost in our thoughts. Anyway, I digress. Because I want people to see people saved this year more than ever. But I want them to be saved because they've heard the truth. Okay? Not because they heard some little wishful thinking. And I want them to understand that when they say yes to Jesus, they say no to the devil, and it's not going to get pretty. I don't know about you, but when I signed up to Jesus, life has not been fun. It's not always been a bed of roses. Yeah. But why should it be?
But it's been worth it.
It's been worth it. I'm called to share in the sufferings of Christ. So count the cost. Anyway, I'm going to stop. Probably repeated myself, but here's a Christmas message. We win. Jesus wins. He's already won. We win too. Hallelujah. That's a great message. Good news. Thank you, Jesus. Let me pray for you and your families. Father, we thank you for your grace. We're only here because of your grace. Your word says you even give us the faith to believe. Lord, we're lifting up every single family member that doesn't know you. Lord God, even our children, Lord, maybe they prayed a prayer way back, but Father, we know they're not walking with you. By your grace, Lord, by your great love and mercy, would you reach down into them, Lord, and open their heart to receive the truth of Christmas, that we have a God, Emmanuel, who came down to take away the sins of the world, to take away my sin and give me new life. And Father, may we be bold enough to articulate that. I thank you, Lord, for the ability to redirect conversations to the gospel of Jesus Christ. For without the gospel, we cannot be saved. Your word clearly says that. How will they hear without a preacher? Oh God, send us preaching. We just declare everyone in this room a laborer in your kingdom. And we thank you, Lord, that this 2024 Christmas season will be the greatest harvest we've ever seen in our families, Lord.
Yes,
because we are bold to declare the good news. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Children coming in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. People who thought they were Christians being truly born again.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. We just declare it, Lord, because you have put it in our heart to declare the truth in a world of lies and deception. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that comes around once a year, maybe twice a year with Easter, to really speak of Jesus in all his glory and fullness. And thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us and saved us, and now we are yours, and no one can pluck us out of your hand. And we thank you for that, the assurance we have in Christ. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen.